how unreal is this? The one, the only, Elliot Friedman. Yuck. What in the world has gone on that you're actually talking to us on an afternoon here?
Elliot!
I'm immediately regretting my decision.
There'll be less food questions and less music from the 70s. My two promises to you.
Are you guys, like, does the host actually work? Unlike, like, you know, Warner, who's gone. Warner, who works 3 days before Christmas and 3 days after, and is on for vacation the rest of the year. By the way, I'm getting makeup while I'm doing this. So this is my first ever makeup chair interview.
Oh, nice. Man. What are you getting all makeuped for?
We're taping our preview show today.
Do you have the bib on and everything? Like, you're all...
Yeah, the bib is on. I'm wearing the headphones to my phone, and they're fiddling around with my hair and making me up as we speak.
Which hair are we going with today? Are we going with the pork chop or the flying all over the place? What's the move?
You know, I prefer the flying all over the place, but, like, this is the way it always goes. Like, you know how bosses are, because you know from your own bosses. They never tell you directly they don't like what you're doing. They go to the people around you and say, we don't like what he's doing, and you have to take care of it. So the people who do makeup here, and then Hillary's doing my hair right now, she's like, they won't tell Elliot they don't like his hair, so they tell me, so I better get this right or I'm in big trouble. But as you guys know, it's a big job.
Tell Hillary to say hi.
No, we're not doing that.
Okay, we have a trade based out of Calgary today, Elliot, as a third-pairing defender, Brett Kulak, of yester season, will head to the Laval Rocket of the AHL in exchange two AHL players. I don't know whether to call them prospects or not, Renette Valiev and Matt Taromina. Thoughts on the transaction? It sounds like Kulak and the Flames might be heading this way. He'd been on waivers twice in the last 3 months.
Yeah, I think that was headed in that direction. I think for one thing, for example, is I don't think it was a very easy process leading into the arbitration. I think the Flames were surprised he was going to take them to that point, and that's one of the reasons they put him at waivers at that time, was to make his case harder. And, you know, I think so there was that. And, you know, I don't think Taromina, you know, not to slag him, I don't think he's a prospect now. He's more of an AHL-level player. Valiev was in Toronto last year before he went to Montreal. He went to Montreal on the Plekanec deal. And, you know, the Marlies, they had a lot of defensemen. Like, I know there were some people who thought that this guy might have a shot to be a depth defenseman in the NHL, but the Marlies were loaded, and he went to Montreal in that deal. I don't know if it's a good sign or a bad that you know, Montreal traded him so quickly, but the fact is he was a guy that some people thought might have a chance to play a depth role in an NHL team. It's probably not good for him that he's in Calgary, because you guys got a lot of D, and a lot of D that look like they're going to play for a while. I think the other thing, too, guys, about this whole deal is somebody told me this afternoon that he heard at one point Calgary and Montreal were, like, working on, like, a 3-for-3 deal. And it was basically all the guys who got traded in the two trades between them. It was Shinkarak and Kulak and Valiev and maybe somebody else. So it sounds like this was going to be one big transaction that got turned into two smaller transactions.
Yeah, it was. It's funny. I believe it was in July, Elliot. I'd heard the same thing, that Shinkarak and Kulak were both in a trade that they were working on with the Habs. Now, it didn't end up coming to pass, and they ended up qualifying Shinkarak and then made the trade to bring in Reichel the other way. But no, I definitely heard the same thing, which leads to believe that from a Kulak perspective, the Habs have been interested in him for quite some time.
Yes, you know, probably. I mean, he's a guy that can play in a depth level in the NHL. I thought there were times last year where he thought he looked pretty decent. But you look at what the Flames have done on their blue line and the budget for what they can probably want to do at the lower levels, and I totally see how what happened.
Story here is Dylan Dubé and Yusuf Alamaki making this club, other than the Kulak trade today, and then Curtis Lazar not getting claimed on waivers and where he might end up. Just a thought on some major roster turnover for the Flames on top of what was a really busy offseason for this group.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. Like, the one thing I really believe is you have to reward guys who deserve to make a team. And because I think it sends a message. Like, you know, it's funny. I'm reading this book now by Michael Lombardi, and he's a guy who has worked in the NFL for a long time. And two of the guys he worked for are Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick. And, you know, he talks about how Belichick believes that the locker room knows who deserves to be on a team and who deserves to be criticized and who doesn't deserve to be criticized. Like, you can't fool your locker room. They know who's good and who's not. And as a result, what Belichick believes is you put the guys on the team who deserve to be on the team, and you play the guys who deserve to play. And I like the fact that Calgary did this because, you know, Dubé in particular is a guy who showed he deserved to be here. I think it sends a message to your team that your spot is not going to be necessarily determined by your contract situation. Your spot is going to be determined by, you know, where you deserve to be and how good you are. And, you know, Dubé clearly proved in the preseason that he was ready for a shot. I think Valimaki, I think the thing that's interesting about him is that I know there's a lot of other organizations who really like him. And I think last year, in just about anything that Tree Living was trying to do, he was at the forefront of any ask. Like, it became pretty obvious to me that, you know, when I was hearing, okay, you go through the trade deadline or leading up to it, and you say, okay, if that team's involved, who are people asking for? And I heard, like, Valimaki was in everything. So this is a guy who clearly has the respect as a high-level prospect around the league. You know, as for Lazar, it's unfortunate. I think he's a really nice kid. I really liked my dealings with him. It just obviously hasn't worked out, and, you know, we'll see where we go from here.
Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman with us every Monday afternoon. What is the latest on William Nylander? He's already missed the entire preseason. The regular season for the Maple Leafs starts on Wednesday. Are we talking about anything imminent at this point?
You know, I always hate answering this because you play the clip and then he signs 3 minutes after I hang up.
But, yeah, that's right.
You know, like anything can change at any time, but as it stands right now, it doesn't sound like there's anything imminent. Now, you know, we're 3 days away or 2 days away from Nylander actually losing money by not being here. And so you always wonder how that changes the equation. But the sense I get, like, even checking this morning, the last I checked from the people I ask about these things, that they really weren't close. And I think the Maple Leafs are, they won't like it, but I think they're prepared to start the season without them.
Biggest holdup, is it just the fact that one side wants to go longer? Like, what is the biggest holdup here, and why hasn't it been done? Is it strictly a money thing, or is there some term involved too?
I think term is the smaller of the two problems, Pat. I think that, you know, I think it is primarily the money that, you know, I think that, it, you know, Toronto has him at a certain area and he feels differently. And, you know, I think what it is that, you know, when John Tavares sat down and met with the Maple Leafs, he made it very clear he did not want to subtract. That if he was going to Toronto, he was going to Toronto on a team that had Austin Matthews, and it had Mitch Marner, and it had William Nylander. And they made him that promise. Now, Toronto's position on the matter is that John Tavares took less money to play there, which is true. He probably could have made about 15 to 18 million more in San Jose, and he probably left about 20 million on the table from the Islanders. So the point is that, you know, he's got paid, but he took a little less than he could, and we want everyone to do that. I think the issue is for a guy like Nylander is that the same thing that happened with Dreisaitl up the road in Edmonton is that, you know, you're willing to be a certain amount of money behind Connor McDavid, e.g. four, but you're not going to be six. And I think that's kind of where they're stuck right now. I think the actual AAV is a much bigger issue than the term.
A lot of people have drawn the comparison to another one of Louis Gross's clients. Okay. Of course, Louis Gross is the agent for William Nylander. Johnny Gaudreau 2 years ago went to the day before the start of the regular season to sign. Is that too convenient a link to make, knowing that he's the agent for both players involved here?
No, I don't think that's too convenient a link to make because, you know, they're saying the surest predictor of future behavior is past behavior, right? So, you know, the similar thing also happened with Torrey Krug in Boston. He represents Torrey Krug, and Krug had a situation where he sat for a while until he got the contract that that he did. So I think it's very well relevant to bring up. I think there is another, the one difference I would say in this situation, Pat, is that there is another level here, and that is that William's father, Michael, knows the business of the NHL, having played in it for so long. And I think as much as this has been Louis Gross's strategy in the past, I think, you know, Michael Nylander, who also was a very tough negotiator during his time and stood up for himself, is a guy who is probably a factor here as well.
One more from me, and that's on Tom Wilson, who has an in-person hearing with the NHL on Wednesday after a hit he levied yesterday. What are you feeling? What does this sound like to you in terms of what we might be talking about for a suspension?
Well, if you go back to the playoffs last year, Wilson was suspended once for 3 games, and he also was in a situation where he was almost suspended another time. There was another very controversial hit. And in the one of the reasons he wasn't suspended for one and he was suspended for the other is that they had camera video evidence that he caught the head. If you look at the Aston Reese suspension, and that's the one where he got 3 games, there is an angle that clearly showed him getting the head, and it was avoidable. Those are the two questions you have to ask. Is the main point of contact the head, and was it avoidable? I think we all know with Sundquist the other night in the St. Louis game that it was avoidable. I think we'd all agree that didn't need to do that. The question is, did he get the head? Now, if they have a camera angle that says he got the head, then he's going to get it. I mean, it's that simple. They've offered him an in-person hearing, which means they can suspend him for more than 5 games if they want. And if you look at their history, they equate one playoff game as 2 regular season games. So that suspension in the playoffs, which was 3 playoff games, they consider 6 regular season games. So I think if they have the video that says he got him in the head, I think Tom Wilson is going to be looking at a very, very stiff suspension. And I understand that when it happened on Sunday yesterday, and it wasn't a game that was on TV, like the phones blew up all around the league. And I think it's a lot of heat on him. And I think it will be a severe suspension if they feel they have the evidence that they can do it.
Final question, Elliot. Just anything imminent? Obviously, there's a lot of interesting names on waivers today, be it the two netminders Toronto have placed there and where they might end up or not, or something trade-wise that could sort out some log jams around the league right now.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that teams have started to do that's really smart is announce their waiver moves. Like, for example, Toronto did that this morning, and we were expecting Connor Carrick on waivers, and he didn't get there, and we now know it's because they had him traded to Dallas. So obviously Dallas felt that he was not going to get to them. So I thought that was interesting. You know, I was on the morning, when I was on the morning show on Friday, and I know you guys listen to everything I say with such bated breath. I talked a little bit about Curtis McElhinney, and, you know, I don't know what the Flames are thinking in their backup goalie position. You know, when Curtis McElhinney was playing by Toronto from Columbus, you know, they basically ran him out of Ohio. The coach Tortorella was not complimentary of him when he left as a player. And Curtis McElhinney came to Toronto, and the backup goalie in Toronto gets all the bad games. It's the back end of back to backs when teams are waiting there for you and you've played the night before. And all he did was exceed expectations, including coming out for an injured Frederick Anderson against Pittsburgh 2 years ago on a Saturday night, a game they had to win to make the playoffs, and he beat them. And, I think that guy is a great pro. I think he proved that he can play in a difficult schedule. And, you know, if I was Carolina and Scott Darling went down the other day and I had a legitimate reason to believe that a good goalie could help us, I'd be taking a long look at him. He doesn't make a ton of money. Same with you guys. If you're not happy with your backup goalie situation, I would be going after this guy in a snap. I think he's a real pro, and he's a Western Canadian guy. His dad still lives in Calgary. I just think that he'd be a kind of guy I'd be looking at for sure.
How's the makeup look? You good?
You know, if I was any more attractive, it would be a crime. I got to tell you.
Have a great recording.
I'll tell you this. In 4K, there's no hiding.
That's a good point. You make a good point.
Patty and I were on the local TV station today. It did not go over well on social media.
It looked
media.
Like we rolled out of bed this morning.
Yep. So you guys are new, so they're rolling you out. Like the morning show, nobody cares about those guys anymore. This is our new show, so we're rolling them out.
We're free, and the morning show guys won't do it. So that's close.
Oh, there you go.
Said.
Yeah, you know, Moldberg's, you know, he's real. I hear he's like got a real like poodle side to him. I've heard that.
Nice chatting with you, Elliot.
See you, Elliot.
All right, guys. Take care.